Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Friday, May 3rd, 2024. And today we're reading from the Big Book. We're on page 18, paragraph 1. And it begins with an illness of this sort and ends with anyone can increase the list. We're commenting on that one paragraph only today. Today's readers are Mary P. for the 12 Steps, Tonya P. for the 12 Traditions, Chanel T. will be our reader and comment on the share, and Julie E. B. is here for page 164. Vanessa G. is here for backup. Thank you for that. We also have Diane B., our newcomer greeter, and Shelley E. will help close out the meeting today with some announcements. Reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 21369. That's 2. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, is 21371. That's 21371. DOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Mary P. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you, Elaine. This is Mary P. in Texas, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service this morning, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much for your service, Mary P. And I will now ask Tanya P. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning. This is Tanya P., recovering in Michigan. And thank you for allowing me to do service. These are the 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. I pass.
Thank you so much. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 18, paragraph 1, and I will ask Chanel T. to please begin reading for us.
Thank you, Elaine. This is Chanel T. Can you hear me okay?
You sound great.
Okay, thanks. Okay, I am Chanel T. in Washington State, grateful compulsive eater recovered today purely by the grace of God. An illness of this sort, and we have come to believe it an illness, involves those about us in a way no other human sickness can. If a person has cancer, all are sorry for him and no one is angry or hurt. But not so with the alcoholic illness, for with it there goes annihilation of all the things worthwhile in life. It engulfs all whose lives touch the sufferers. It brings misunderstanding, fierce resentment, financial insecurity, disgusted friends and employers, warped lives of blameless children, sad wives and parents. Anyone can increase the list. Wow. Okay. But there is some good news in here, all right? Illness of this sort. That's actually a freeing statement because I didn't cause my compulsive eating and no one else did either. Not a case of a lack of willpower, all right? I didn't do this. It's an illness. But let's get into it. Annihilation. When I looked that up, complete destruction. Imagine something like a fire. The flames come in and they just take over something. And on that same thought process, engulf, we eat or swallow something whole. The flames come in and just destroy that whole thing, engulfing it, right? Okay. The reason I brought that up is because I wanted to believe that this conviction didn't apply to me, right? It's just for alcoholics. It's for drug addicts. But my food thing only affected me. Denial. That's what that is. Because when I'm in the food, I destroy everything around me. Everything that touches me. I'm not there for my job. I don't really care whether I pay my bills or I'm completely fretting over it and I'm in bondage to financial insecurity. And forget family, because the things I did to my daughter in this disease, I will be making a living amends to her the rest of my life. I heard her. I was Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde, depending on whether I was binging, starving, over-exercising, whatever I was doing. I was always hurting her. I wasn't there for her. I wasn't showing up. The good news is, and it says it in the previous paragraph, but it's going to keep saying it throughout this entire book, is, and thank God for this. I thank our higher power, my higher power for this. We have a common solution upon which we can all absolutely agree. And it is all written for us right in this book. It's all right here. Every day I get to work the steps. I get to live in the steps. And I get to be part of this amazing fellowship as a recovered individual. Not cured, but recovered. And for that, I'm eternally grateful. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. Really appreciate your share. Okay, so we value everybody's experience. We ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared on Wednesday or Thursday and you'd like to comment, please press star one to unmute and give me the first initial of your last name with your first name.
Hi, this is Julie
E.B. Ooh, I heard a couple people. I heard Julie E.B. and
yeah.
Monique F.
Monique F.
Loretta H.
Loretta H. Anyone else want to get in this lineup? Star one to unmute. Okay, we'll have Julie E.B., Monique F., and Loretta H. Please share with us, Julie E.B.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs in Los Angeles today. Yeah, this is really a hard reality at times to face, but a big part of my disease, someone talked, the quote from Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, the more I think I'm perfect on the outside and the more I'm pretending to be perfect on the outside, the sicker I'm getting inside in secret and the more I feel that obsession growing and that craving and that need to binge and or to restrict in order to control my life. And so part of this program that I would advocate for is just find a sponsor, someone that you're not alone with. Find connections in the outreach line or anything else. And don't be alone, because facing this stuff in the fourth step and again in the ninth step and sharing it with myself and then with another person has changed my life. You know, I have a child who is 8 months sober from drugs, and the reason that he was willing to engage in recovery, even though his program and path are different than mine, was not because I went on another diet. It's because I worked this program and he saw me change. He saw the raging stop. He saw the fact that my amends to my young adults is to be emotionally sober and trustworthy, not looking to them for reassurance or for trying to freeze them in place, but letting them be what I am, a growing, unfolding child in the universe, resting in the hands of a loving God. But before that, I did destruction. And just this week, talking to him about something, he's like, no, I need help from other people. I'm still angry about the way I'm raised. My oldest son I traveled here to L.A. with said on the plane, oh, sorry to bring that up, but you were like that. I said, no, because of this program, I do not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. I can hear those things from my kids, and with my sponsor's instruction, I can say, yes, I probably did do that, or yes, I remember doing that. Is there anything I can do to support you in dealing with it now? I can't take that back, but I can continue to help others, usually most easily those who are not my family or myself, but those who are in the grips of this disease. This disease laid waste, this evil thing I did to my kids, is I turned everything, all the focus on me, and I use them to make me feel better in my disease as I lay bedbound, or as I lay injured, or as I lay emotionally unsober. I looked to them to take care of me. And so a proud moment came this week.
And a reminder?
When my middle son said, well, I could say exactly what you want to hear to reassure you, but that would not be authentic. And that gives me hope that he's finding recovery too. Thanks for letting me share. And I pass.
Awesome. Thank you, Julie E.B. Monique F., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Loretta H.
I'm Monique F. in Tennessee. And, you know, after reading this paragraph, I have to say, I am the good news, a living miracle, but I have to stay in surrender. You know, I have a lot of yets. God has taken, my high power has taken over 200 pounds from me in 3 years. And I cannot let the blessings take me away from the blesser, from the spirit. You know, God has swept me off my feet in these very short 3 years. I was a 5XL, over 400 pounds. And to go in a store and to be able just to pick up a small off the rack and put it on and feel free and feel beautiful. Again, the 5X was a symptom of the disease, and the size small is a symptom of the spirit. My body can be free, you know, and today I have to make sure that I don't get a fat head. You know, my ego has to stay in check. You know, in the food, like this is saying, annihilation of everything, there is no joy for me in the food. There is no peace. There's no care for others. The food is not a kind and compassionate God. It demands everything. When I was in the food, you know, and now, like I said, I get to live and I get to be free and I get to go to a baseball game and a boxing match. And I get to look in the mirror and be in love with myself and what God is doing in my life. But I have to come to this meeting, and this coming to vision is like a total flip from the regular Zoom meetings I was attending. And I need to be where people where I see so much recovery, and I can dream and ask God, I'm believing you to be recovered, because I never hear about being recovered like I do when I come to Vision or Recovery Jam or some of the other recovered meetings. And so it's kind of stretching me right now, and it's like God is growing my heart and strengthening my body. And what I'll say is my coworkers, you know, they saw me when I was in the food, when I wasn't bathing, when I wasn't taking care of myself. They see me now, and they see this light in my eyes, and they see this energy. And, you know, some of them say awesome things, and, oh, I'm so glad to see you feeling so, you know, excited about life. And then others say, oh, what you trying to do? You're going to disappear. How much weight you trying to lose? They have no idea. This is not about a pound on the scale. This is about the pounds. This is about the pounds that God is healing in my heart. And so much is being uncovered. You know, ideas about my sexuality, ideas about my creativity, ideas about how can I be of more service to my children and in relationships. And I'm living a life beyond my wildest dreams, but God lets me know I have to keep him first. And today I'm committing to that by just getting on this meeting and sharing. So I look forward to what others have to share. And thank you all so much to do service and keep this meeting going. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Monique F. Okay, we have Loretta H. next. And then we're going to take another lineup. We're commenting on page 18, chapter There is a Solution, reading the first full paragraph, which begins with an illness of this sort and ends with anyone can increase the list. Please share with us, Loretta.
Hi, Elaine. Thank you for your service and all of those on the line, especially the newcomer. And you are saving my life along with my precious God. Loretta H., recovered in North Carolina. And I do want to make, I hope I haven't overstepped, but I did do the closing on the meeting, but I did want to share on this paragraph because it is so important to me. And I also, so if I'm overstepping boundaries, I haven't shared since last week. Elaine, please tell me.
Oh, that's fine. Please go ahead, Loretta.
Okay. Okay, I just don't want to be gluttonous because that's what I was in my old life. Okay, so here we go. I looked up the word annihilate, and it's a state of fact of being completely destroyed or obliterated. So not only did I do that to myself, but I did it to most people that loved me. And the ending of this paragraph is about the promises of compulsive overeating. You know, we have our promises in the ninth step. We have a lot of promises and prayers. But this and the bedevilments on 52 are what disturbed me and destroyed me in my old life. And so it's interesting. This morning I was on my two-way prayer, and they talked about the Beatitudes. And we have that in this book because there is a solution. It is about love. And in this whole chapter, it's about two powers. First, the power of the fellowship, and then the power of the spiritual experience. And that's what arms me. You guys help me, but what really arms me so that I don't annihilate anybody else is I know God and I know peace. Because with doing the work, I can work through any disappointment, any thing in this world. It says it will solve all your problems. That's on 45, and I think in Bill's story also. So I think I am so grateful because my favorite paragraph in the whole book is cling to the thought that in God's hands, our darkness can actually avert death and misery for others because we have found that solution in the spiritual experience, but also in the power of you. So I am really grateful that you let me share and that I have this opportunity today. God loves me just as I am, but never, ever prevents me from being a better Loretta. And today I have peace so that I don't have to take peace. And with that, I pass. Thank you, Elaine. God bless. Beautiful day.
Thank you to Loretta H. So, though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day that others might share their experience, too. So, if you haven't shared in the last couple of days, then please.
Barbara E.
Barbara E.
Nancy
Vicky
L.
T. Nancy L. And somebody else came in with Nancy L. Who was that?
Vicky T. in Florida.
Vicky T. in Florida. Okay.
Harry N. in Santa Ana, California.
Harry N. in California. Who else would like to share?
And Deb F. in Texas.
Deb F. Okay, let's
Laura
go with this for now.
Laura H. from Washington.
Laura H. Great. Okay, we've got Barbara E., Nancy L., Vicky T., Carrie N., Deb F., and Laura H. Please share with us, Barbara E.
Good morning. Happy Friday to you, and thank you so much for your service and everyone who's keeping us safe today and all the people who have shared and all the people who are listening because you are my family. I am a volume compulsive overeater, volume, critical level. I will eat perfectly at breakfast, perfectly at lunch, perfectly at dinner, and then go down for 16 meals in the middle of the night like a ninja binger, sneaking down and then hiding the wrappers, washing all the utensils so that my husband and my adult son won't see the evidence and think less of me. And there are promises in this beautiful book. When we do as they're written, but I have promises too when I'm not doing what I should be doing and know that it's killing me. I react, and here's a promise, by withdrawing, being insulted, engaging in sarcastic comments, refusing to look at someone or answer their questions. When I take things personally, it weighs on me and it drains my energy, and I feel rejected and invisible and unworthy. And I do understand I'm hypersensitive, and I tend to feel bad about things that are probably not about me, because my ego always tells me it's all about me and it's not good. And my brain seems to be hardwired to focus on the negative to protect me from what I perceive as being a danger. And it transforms by leaving the D off danger and becomes anger. So when I focus on these negative stories, I tell myself, what can I do? Well, I ask myself, what else could it be before I leap to conclusions about an actual perceived slight, look, oversight? And I consider instead that question, what else could it be? And is there any evidence to support my perception? Because when I'm eating, when I'm taking things that I know I shouldn't do, all these negative stories pop up again, and those promises that are promised in the big book disappear for me. So I have to always shift my negative self-talk that can bombard me and encase me in my own hurtful prison and increase my tendency to enter flight or fight or freeze or eat mode, and try to reframe my negative talk and practice self-compassion and ask myself, thank you very much, to give myself some compassion. And I'll end with this. When I harbor resentments, they take me to that dark room where I develop my negatives. So I choose a different path today, and I choose it with you. Thank you, Elaine. Thank you, everyone. Have a blessed Friday.
Thank you so much, Barbara E. Okay, up next we have Nancy L. followed by Vicki T. Please share with us, Nancy.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. This is Nancy L. in Arizona. Oh, my gosh, what a paragraph. My food addiction illness brought me lots of things. Besides overweight of about 106 pounds overweight, it brought me a lot of misunderstandings. I couldn't understand why people couldn't understand me. And as a result, I couldn't hold a job down for very long. So there was the financial insecurity. My husband was very sad and would come home and say, Nancy, I just don't know what I'm going to get when I get home. Am I going to have a happy wife or a miserable wife? My kids were not happy, especially as they became teenagers. The more they acted out, the more I ate, and it was just a fiasco in our home. But thanks be to God, I'm grateful for this program. I'm grateful that the 100 pounds plus is off for over 20 years now, and it's only by God's grace and mercy. And, you know, I never did get a very good job. I never have had very much money, but I got a lot of joy today and a very happy marriage of 53 years. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Nancy L. Vicki T., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Carrie M.
Hi, everybody. Vicki T. from Florida, gratefully recovered. I wanted to say something yesterday, and I didn't get to say it. And, you know, I remember being on this line and some of the other lines like this and feeling so, you know, hearing all these really happy people and it working for them and feeling so like what was wrong with me. Like it was all about me, that I'm the only one that can't get this program. And I had a sponsor once who said, you know, I said, well, it's just maybe it won't work for me. And she said, do you think you're that special? And I was like embarrassed, but I'm like, yeah, I do. you know, my selfishness and my ego. Such good news. I see that that is the good news. That the good news is that, yes, I've had a traumatic childhood. Yes, I've had this, that, and the other thing happen. But that's not the reason for me, for my compulsive overeating. Because if that's the reason, then I have to be in therapy since I'm 5, which I have been, and it got me nowhere. So, and I'm a lot older than 5. Yes, this illness involves everybody that I came into contact with. I mean, totally, you know, it's one of our fellows says, I am not going to give this illness one more minute of my life. And I feel that way. I feel like I have eaten enough whatevers to fulfill a lifetime. I've had enough misery in this disease to fill a lifetime. And I tortured everybody that came in contact with me. I feel so bad for my parents and my sisters because it was all about me growing up because it just engulfed everything. And now that I realize, brilliant, that I'm not that special and that there is a common solution and I don't have to go to meetings anymore and say, yeah, I could get it only if I had what that man has. I think that's somewhere in the 12 and 12. I didn't make it up, but I'm just remembering it now. But the great news is that God has removed the obsession. And I have neutrality around the food. The interesting thing is, though, I don't have neutrality around people, places, and things. And that, for me, is the spiritual progress. But I'm getting there, and I have seen so much progress in working these steps every single day of my life. So there is such good news, and there is such happiness. But for me, God didn't remove the obsession until he removed it. And it's been a lot of years. And I just like that it's not like, but that, again, that this is an illness. Thank you so much. And that I am, it's like somebody else shared, it's not my fault, but it's my responsibility to do something about it. And that is to connect with God and connect with all of you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much, Vicki T. Carrie N., you are up next. Please share with us.
Hi, it's Carrie N. in Santa Ana, California. Really grateful to be reading this paragraph. And it is sad. I'm currently relapsing and have a couple of days working with a sponsor. And the illness for me of compulsive overeating leaves me, just like it says, involves those about us in a way no other illness can. And mostly it confuses me as I watch my days unfold. How can there be so much chaos? How can there be so much not being able to have the results that I'm interested in? And so I, in regard to OA, you know, why am I confused and fearful? Well, it ends up that I've sought faith in logic and, you know, how to create something. And all I'm left with is confusion and my inability to even admit that I have a desire to stop eating compulsively is that's what my last 6 months have been. It's like, gosh, should I even go to meetings? I really don't want to stop compulsively overeating. But I also would like to have a different God in my life than logic. And I seek a connection with a power greater than myself. I allow myself to have a spiritual experience and to align with creation. And I'm just going to leave it there and do this moment by moment. I'm very grateful that I get to put down the food today because I have a desire eating compulsively and living that life.
Thank you very much. Carrie Ann, you are up next, and you're going to be followed by Deb F. Oops,
this
I think I missed that. Okay, go ahead. Thank you. Please go ahead, Carrie Ann. Star one to unmute.
I pass.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I'm sorry. I forgot to put the little check mark. Okay, Deb F., thank you very much. You're up next, followed by Laura H.
Good morning, everybody. This is Deb F. in Texas, and I am gratefully recovered today, and not cured. And but, you know, just like another another fellow shared about, you know, being neutral around the food, but I'm not neutral around other people, places, and things. And I feel like, you know, just going through the program this time, going through the big book this time with a sponsor, and just really focusing in. Yes, I do have an illness. It's not this little thing. I'm not as bad. You know, I'm this. I'm not that. You know, and doing instead just going, no, I do have an illness. Because if I look back on my life, my husband too would say, I don't know who I'm coming home to and what mood are you in? You're in a good mood now. When will that change? You know, and today I take responsibility for my moods, for my behavior in a way that I haven't done. The hardest place for me to have any acceptance of what I've been using food since I was five. And so, you know, and it's so good to know it is not my fault that I have this disease, but just like another fellow shared that I do have to take responsibility for it. And I'm so glad for this program. I'm so glad for the simple view that we have that, you know, that I have a twist of the mind, I have an allergy of the body, and that I need this program, and I need to be humble before God on a daily basis. And I'm just grateful I have a way to rectify mistakes today that I never had before. Instead, I would take it all on myself, like feeling I had to be perfect and I had to perform. I had to be what you wanted me to be, even though I was fighting against it. That makes sense. That's called insanity. But today, I don't have to live that way. And I'm grateful that my husband and my daughter do see some changes. But I feel like that I need to, that as I walk out abstinence every day, then I need to be willing to look at the areas that I still owe amends that I can't even see, that I still think I'm fine. And for that, I'm grateful. I'm so grateful for being able to call fellows I don't even know that will call me on my stuff. Thank you. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much, Deb F. Okay. We have Laura H. next, and after Laura, we're going to take a few more people to share on page 18, paragraph 1, and there's a solution. It starts with an illness of this sort and ends with anyone can increase the list. Please share with us, Laura H.
Good morning from sunny Seattle. I'm Laura. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater and bulimic. I was thinking today that I've been abstinent from bulimia for about 23 years, and I have 78 days free of sugar, and I'm feeling hugely better, as I'm sure everybody understands. I love the title of this chapter, There Is a Solution, and thousands of people who were once hopeless have recovered, and I have to remind myself that on the days that I'm struggling. This particular paragraph made me start thinking about how much I wanted pity from everyone around me for my food suffering and my weight gain, my weight loss, and never was I ever thinking about how much chaos I was creating around me when I was binging and in the food. And part of that was the morning after experience of waking up with a puffy face. And then I felt embarrassed because I knew people would know I was in the food. And I don't know that they did, but I felt like I knew it. And then I was resentful about being needed by anyone. I had a son at the time who was younger, and I had family that wanted connection, and I had employees. And I completely lost sight of gratitude for any of these wonderful relationships I had. I was resentful towards everybody, and especially people who wanted me and liked me, because I hated myself so much and couldn't get past that until I finally got back off the sugar. And obviously sugar is a drug, and it completely alters your chemistry in your brain and your chemistry in your body and in your gut. And there's a direct connection there with the gut and the brain and all the mental health disorders that we suffer from when we're using, and how that impacts the people around us. So I'm feeling tremendous gratitude for this meeting and how much this helps me, because it's such a clear message of recovery, and people are not talking about the morning after experience and instead sharing about the Big Book. And it's teaching me things that, for all the hundreds of times I've read the Big Book, I always find something new. It just blows my mind. And I'm feeling really grateful. I have my first sponsee. I have never sponsored somebody in OA because I'm a therapist, and I would feel very frightened about crossing that line. So I'm stoked because we're reading out of the book this morning, and we're doing the 12 steps directly from the Big Book and as I've been taught. So that's a big sign for me of something that's happening in my recovery that I'm not in charge of. Today, God is in charge of my food and the scale and my weight and all the stuff. And what a wonderful way to live when I can let some of that stuff go. So today I'm just filled with gratitude, and it certainly doesn't help that it's sunny today. So anyway, I hope everybody has a wonderful Friday, and welcome to the weekend. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. We have time for two more shares on page 18, paragraph 1. Who would like to take them?
Alex K.
Wendy
Alex
M.
K.
Hillary B.
And Wendy M. Okay, Hillary, I'll write you down, but I'm not sure if we'll have time for you. So, Alex K., please share with us, and you'll be followed by Wendy M.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you, everyone, for being here. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, recovered just for today. The line about cancer really struck me today, that people respond differently to someone with cancer than they do to someone with an addiction, and I responded differently. If I had cancer, I'd go to the doctor, of course, and follow treatment suggestions. I wouldn't expect myself to cure my cancer. I know I was powerless and over the disease, and that, and I wouldn't try to heal myself with my willpower. But that's what I expected myself to do with my compulsive eating. Over and over, I told myself, this time I'll control it. If only I tried harder. And then each time I failed, which, of course, I always did, I'd berate myself. I couldn't see that my problem is an illness, not a moral issue, and that I was trying to have power over something that I'm powerless over, and that I'll never be able to control no matter how hard I try. But today I accept that it is an illness. It's a disease that I didn't cause, and I'm not a bad person for having it or for not being able to control it any more than if I had cancer or diabetes. And just as those diseases require treatment, my disease requires treatment. And the treatment is this program, the steps and my higher power, and it works. I was a hopeless, helpless binger starver for so long, and the disease destroyed my life, and I never thought I could get better. But today I'm contentedly abstinent, free of the obsession and the compulsion for some years. I'm not suffering and struggling in my disease. I'm being healed. I eat to nourish my body, not to escape. I don't see food as a solution. I rely on my program, which is my medicine, and my life is good. It's really miraculous. I could never have imagined a life like this. It's evidence that this program works and that my higher power is working in my life and doing for me what I could never do for myself. I'm so grateful I found this solution, and I'll keep coming back and keep taking my medicine. Thanks for helping me with my recovery today. Beth.
Thank you very much, Alex K. Okay, Wendy M., you are up next, and you will be our last share for today. I'm so sorry, Hillary.
Yes, good morning, Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Elaine, thank you for your service and everybody else on the line. And this this paragraph reminds me of what it says on page 52, not just having trouble with personal relationships, I couldn't control my emotional nature. And I'm not talking about like when I was 5 years old. 9 months ago, I picked up the phone and I told somebody in this program, I will do whatever you tell me to do. And the results are miraculous. But day one, like a day before that 9 months, I couldn't control my emotional nature. I was eating, binging, pretending to be abstinent, but not in the program for 2 years because I was using men for those 2 years. And I didn't think I could do both. but yeah, I couldn't control my emotional nature. And the reason why I couldn't control my emotional nature is because I had no interest in growing up. I call these programs, or at least this program, it's all about becoming a grown-up, because where I was 10 months ago was in child state. I would eat whatever it is I wanted to eat, right? I was addicted to getting my way. I was addicted to comfort. And the havoc that that plays on other human beings in my life is tremendous. It was big. It was very big. Like I didn't even want to tell you guys how many tantrums I threw. I'm a 61-year-old woman. So not getting my way, you know, depending on other people, hoping that other people would become different so my insides were okay, and eating and eating and eating. And I don't know why or how this worked. On the line, again, picked up the phone and I said, I want what you have. And she said, this is the list of things you're going to do. And I said, I'm going to do anything because I can't be me anymore. I cannot be this child who refuses to grow up, who is addicted to comfort, getting my own way, and bulldozing over other people. I said, I've got to do this. And I have to just share one teeny thing. When I talk to people on the line, they say, Wendy, I want what you've got. And I say, great. This is the requirement that I require. See, you have to do different actions to become a different person. I didn't do this. I'm sitting in miracles today, absolute miracles. I am not bulldozing other human beings. I have a design for living that shows me that when I get cranky inside, I have a way out, right? I mean, it's the most brilliant program, right, you've ever experienced. But I had to say yes, because I had to do things differently to be different. Thank you so much for letting me share it.
Thank you so much, Wendy M., and everybody who has shared. Just fabulous. We'll now close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Julie E.B. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi. Covered in Colorado Springs in L.A. today. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask God in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the person who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with God is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to God and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.